Watch our seats. Open our hearts for a little bit of the word of the Lord tonight. I'd like for you to stand with me one more time. Why don't we just slip our hands up and worship him for a moment or two? Let's just praise the Lord. Let's give him worship. Give him praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Remain standing and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. And while you're turning, I would like to say thank you to Brother Grant for the privilege of talking to you tonight and tell you that we certainly do. My wife and I, we love this church. We love being among genuine Christians. And I feel like a word from God for you tonight. Every preacher, I guess, has to issue a disclaimer once in a while. I'm not trying to straighten anybody out or whatever. I just want to pass along to you something the Lord has been talking to me about. And I want to talk to you about connecting with God. Connecting with God. You know, we live in a distracted world. And there's so many distractions and detours that it's sometimes difficult to hang on to God. Now I got a blank stare. So I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Hold on. Hang on. Tie a knot and hold on. And let's center our attention on God tonight while I'm speaking to you, because it is vital that we stay connected with him. Amen. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up." Say that with me. Go up. Let's do that again. Go up and possess it. Amen. "As the Lord God of thy fathers has said to thee, fear not." Let's say that together. We live in an awful time of fear. It's on every hand. What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen tomorrow? I have taught a Bible study on the 11th commandment, and I have pretty good biblical background to say that if there had been 11 commandments, the 11th one would be, "Thou shalt not fear." Fear not, neither be discouraged. Verse 26, "Notwithstanding, you would not go up." They wouldn't do what? They would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. Verse 27, "And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us out forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither or why shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up into heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim," or the giants, "there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes." The second chapter, verse 24. "Rise ye up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." And then the third chapter, starting at the first verse, first three verses. "Then we turned and went up." There they went up. "The way to Bashan. And Og the king of Bashan came out against us, he and all the people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. There is victory if we stay in connection with God. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to talk to us tonight. In Jesus' name, speak to our hearts, O God, as we come before you. Help us to connect with you and to stay connected with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I read to you all these scriptures in Deuteronomy. I'm going to talk to you on this subject, because these thoughts keep coming to me. So I'm just bringing them to you tonight. The most important thing the people of God could learn just before they entered the promised land is their ability to get through to God, to connect with God. And the most important thing we can learn wherever we are on our pilgrim journey to our promised land or in our promised land is the same. How do I effectively connect with God? And obviously the next need, how can I stay connected with him? Amen. Now there's a Hebrew term used several times in our scripture that's important in studying this principle. Understand that Hebrew term is spelled LH in Hebrew, the language that leaves out the vowels. And in English, if you add a couple of vowels, it is Elah, A-L-A-H, Elah. And the term simply means to ascend, to go up, to rise up. Anywhere in Scripture you see go up, usually this term is used. And this is not a passive principle. It is an action verb. It appears actually over 800 times in the Old Testament. Along with others, it's used for Moses, who went up, going up to connect with God on the mountain. We are all familiar with what it means to be up. Amen. We all know what it means to rise to the top. We understand coming out on top or being on top of our game or a dozen other comparisons you could make. All of these terms have to do with going up. And in the Old Testament, it means connecting with God on the mountain. Going up. Amen. Now, beyond the meaning of go up, Elah also means bringing up or offering up, as in sacrifice. The whole burnt offering is called actually the same word, only with an O in the front, Olah, because the smoke from the offering rose up to the heaven. Psalm 24 and verse 3, Olah refers to ascending God's holy hill. Who shall ascend, Olah, into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer to those questions are given in the next verse. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In Psalm 24, God describes his requirements for those who choose to connect with him. Amen. This type of agreement was common in ancient Hebrew history between an overlord and his subjects, or between the king over several cities, or a king of a certain country, that they make with the smaller kings or the kings of smaller towns and cities. This overlord, or what they used to call the big king, blesses and protects the people within his subjection in exchange for their support. So Elah is also the root of the word aliyah, which means ascension or going up, or going, as in going up to Jerusalem, or in reference to returning to Israel and to Jerusalem for the lands of dispersion where the Jews were scattered throughout the world. Elah is the root of Elyon, meaning highest, or as is used in God's Old Testament titles, El Elyon, or the highest God, the Most High. Amen. Exodus 19 and 5, seeming to change the subject, but not really, tells us this. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. All the people. God is telling them what their relationship would be to him if he accepted, if they accepted and obeyed his covenant. We are God's people. We are filled with God's Spirit. He has saved us. He has washed away our sins. Amen. And our need tonight is to go up to reach for him. Amen. Stay with me here, because this is very important to us. God is telling the people in Exodus 19 what their relationship would be to him. And he's reinforcing that. In the last phrase of that fifth verse, God is reminding these people, all the earth is mine. I've said it before here, but let me say it again. God's still king over everything. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who the leaders of the other countries, nations are. God's still the king. There is a separate kingdom, and it is the kingdom of God. And whatever happens to us in regards to our country or our state, we need to understand that we're not dependent on our country. We're not dependent on our state. We're dependent on our God, and he has never let us down yet. Lift your hands and worship him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God has complete control in all things, since all the earth is his. And his obedient, loyal people would eventually someday have dominion in the earth. Amen. That same chapter, Exodus 19, verse 6, tells us, you shall be to me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. I know that that was referring directly to the people of Israel, but there is a similar verse in Peter. Peter wrote, you are priests and kings unto me, and I thank God for that. That's who we are. We're part of his kingdom. We're part of his nation. This Old Testament holy nation describes a people set apart from the world, a people dedicated to God and dedicated to his service, blessed and led by his presence. Then in Deuteronomy 1, verse 21, our text this evening, God's instructions to Israel was simply, behold, the Lord God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Let me say to you tonight, don't be distracted. Don't be detoured. Keep on walking with God. Keep on climbing the mountain. There are still hills to climb. There are still paths to walk. There are still things to do. Keep on going. Go up and possess the land. Amen. Chapter 3 and verse 1 of Deuteronomy, then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. God's people were instructed to Elah, or go up, and they did. And when they went up, God came down to meet them, and they defeated their enemy. Just want to let that soak in a little bit, because it's vital. If we'd been there and looked around, you know what we'd have seen? I think we'd have still seen the fiery cloud hanging around. Still be the presence of God in the camp. God says, you need to make a connection with me. And if you will put the effort into going up, I will come down and meet you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing changed about their day-to-day living. God still provided all their immediate needs. God had not left them there, but they needed more of God. What is it that we need? More of God. They needed more of God. They needed to freshly connect with God. They needed a close presence of God. They needed a spiritual nearness with God. They needed God ministering to their souls daily. Hallelujah. They needed the reassurance of His protecting and providing power, not just for their day-to-day needs. God was giving them instructions. He was educating them about His expectations. He was letting them know what He was requiring of them. He did not give them just a dry, dusty old book filled with boring, monotonous lectures. He wasn't loading them down with cold, formal doctrines. God knew they themselves needed to put some effort into the project so He could show them that He was alive and that He was all working on their behalf, that He was taking care of them, that He was protecting and providing for them. And He's still doing the same today. Let's give Him praise. Let's offer a sacrifice of praise to Him. Amen. Amen. So what was He asking them to do? Elah, go up. God has never stopped challenging us to trust Him, to believe in Him, to obey Him, to put Him to the test. Amen. Well, how have we been doing along that line lately? Could it be that we might be a little bit comfortable with where we are? Might it be that it's hard to get out of bed in the morning? Hard to get out of that comfortable recliner? No, I'm not talking about the practical area of life. I'm just talking about walking with God, pushing, going ahead, going up. Come on, folks. God's calling you. Go up. Go up with Him. Amen. Amen. Now, when God passes out His laws, He doesn't just hand out the dead laws. He gives them with a spiritual outpouring. God calls upon His people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Plenty of people can and will tell you how to live. But basically, we all already know how to live. We just have a hard time applying it, right? But we know from practical experience how tough it gets sometimes for people to live a holy, dedicated, consecrated life. And we know that it is practically impossible to do so without the anointing of God, without a spiritual infilling, without the Holy Ghost inside of us, without a daily connection with God's Spirit. That's why this book of Deuteronomy is so powerful, because you'll find if you read it several times throughout the book, we read, "Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." But many times, it didn't seem they were able to follow through with their declared intention. But they were together and they were in unity, in one accord unity. All the people, the Bible says, answered, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And the Bible principle, the basic principle God is teaching them in these scriptures, runs through all the scripture. It is this: when we put effort into going up, believe me, God will meet you. He will come down to meet you. Amen. Let's worship Him again. Let's lift our hands and give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we put effort into rising above our circumstances. Did you catch that or do I need to repeat it? When we put effort into rising above our circumstances, when we decide we can no longer make it alone, when we make up our minds that we must have the help of God, when we determine we must meet with God on a regular basis, when we go up, He comes down to meet us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Kings is a strange book. I try to read through the Bible every year, and I'm kind of always relieved when I get past some of this stuff in the Old Testament. But this particular book tells us of the death of King Solomon when his adversaries tried to take over. And I'm going to be brief here, so hang on to what I'm saying. Then it goes into the story of his harsh, cruel son, whose name was Rehoboam, who made it difficult for the people of Israel. And as a result of his harsh statements and actions, another guy named Jeroboam rose up and took those Israelites Rehoboam had offended, pulling the 10 northern tribes together, merged them into his own kingdom, Israel, leaving the southern tribes to go on their own. You know the history there. Just think about it a little bit as I cover it. But Jeroboam wasn't right either. He didn't depend on God. He was into his own power and his own control. So operating in his own wisdom, in his own knowledge, he decided it would not be good for him to be the king just over a secular kingdom whose citizens were constantly looking to Jerusalem, who had to cross the border, go into another kingdom, go down to another city for spiritual guidance. So he made the northern kingdom 2 golden calves, setting up one of them in a city called Bethel and the other in a city called Dan. He made them for convenience sake. Then he made shrines, the Bible says, on the high places. And since all of the holy men of God, the priest of God, were down in Judah ministering in the temple in Jerusalem, he conscripted some unemployed people, just any idle people would do, to be ministering priests in his religion. In 1 Kings 12 and 27, we read that Jeroboam recognized that if these people go up, there we see that word again, Al-Elah, to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. He did the things I have already listed for you, and he introduced the people to their new gods, and then notice what his message to them was. It is too much for you to go up, Elah, to Jerusalem. Too much. Now you say, well, Jeroboam was afraid of Judah. No, I don't think so. He's afraid of Jerusalem. He's afraid of the temple. He's afraid of the... No, I don't think so. Because it was more than just ascending, going up to Jerusalem. It was more than climbing the temple mount up to the temple. For some reason, Jeroboam did not want those people going up to meet their God. I don't believe he was frightened by the city. I know he said Jerusalem, but there was much more on his mind than that. Don't believe he worried about the temple, the sights and the sounds of the altars of sacrifice. Didn't concern him about the rituals and ceremonies that they were participating in. But Jeroboam knew principle, because he knew that when the people of God go up, God will come down to meet them. That was what he was afraid of. He knew the place where God meets his people, where God, the living God, actually meets with his people. He knew that that place would become sacred to them, and he, the heathen secular king, would have a good chance of losing them. It's not only stated, but it's reinforced in Exodus 19 and 24, where it says, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up, Elah, unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. in Exodus, where God met his people face to face and he told them how to live for him and showed them how to worship them, he reinforces this principle. When people reach up to God, God reaches down to them. So let me pause here and preach to you a little bit. What is he saying to us? Think about it. Let it just drill its way into your mind. God wants to bless you. And the way you get that connection for his blessings is to reach up. Because when you begin to climb a little bit, put a little effort into it, stop taking everything for granted. Start letting somebody else do all the work for you. When you begin to develop your own prayer life and you begin to remember the before service prayers that Brother Hawk has so carefully told us about, when we begin to reach up and go up and reach up and go up, God comes down. Amen. That's illustrated in almost every one of our services in this church, because when we begin to sing and play music and worship God and reach up and sing it again and push a little more and worship a little more, God comes down in a special, powerful way. What he wants to see is every one of us putting some effort into going up, a little more effort into pushing, a little more effort into reaching out, to believing God, to trusting God, to walking with God, so he can open the windows of heaven and pour his blessings out upon us in a powerful way. Let's reach up to him right now. Let's reach up to him and worship him. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When people reach up to God, God reaches down to them. When people hunger and thirst for God, God satisfies that hunger and thirst. This principle can transform our lives if we will appropriate it for ourselves today. Tonight, we are encouraged in Hebrews chapter 10 to connect with God by the instructions. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The 19th verse, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hey, folks, you're not on the wrong road tonight. You're not going down the wrong trail. You're not detoured or distracted. You're on the right road. You're in the right church. You're in the right place. Just reach up so God can reach down. Just climb a little higher so God can bless you. Come on, let the Spirit of God just move upon you right here. Amen. God's touching us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 When we go up, God comes down. God comes down. I remember living in central Louisiana in the 60s. In the fall of the year during hurricane season, many times I can remember when hurricanes were predicted for the Louisiana coast, the Gulf Coast. When that happened, traffic from South Louisiana, we lived in central Louisiana. Traffic from South Louisiana would be bumper to bumper with people coming by the thousands out of the coastal areas, trying to find a safe place out of the reach of the hurricane and the tornadoes it spawns. And just as soon as the immediate danger was over, those same thousands would quickly return to their previous homes, or in so many cases, what was left of their homes. And I remember always being thankful that I didn't live farther south. At one time, however, I was caught in the traffic. I was needing to finish up my day's work. I'd had a long day. And I was trying to get back over to the office in the warehouse with my sales orders, and I was caught in that rush of traffic from people leaving South Louisiana, bumper to bumper. I couldn't get across the highway. It took a long time, I don't remember exactly how long, to get a chance to get across the highway. And as I was sitting there, waiting for a chance, I got to the point I wanted so much to get out of my car and shout at the folks that were driving by, "Hey, folks, you don't have to stay down there." You don't have to live down there. Thinking about that with all this oil blowout and everything down there, and I'll tell you what hit me, and this is really the crux of what I'm wanting to say to us tonight. I want to preach to you wherever you are. I know that we have people from every type of background and experience, and God has reached you. And I have lived long enough to see sinners saved from horrible backgrounds and turned around and pointed in the right direction. But I am preaching to you tonight, you who have settled in one place and kind of sort of relaxed and kind of taken it easy for a while and maybe even laid down some of the things God has given you to do. I want to tell you, when you get frustrated and troubled because you don't see God doing much in your life anymore, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Does anybody hear me tonight? I know there are some troubled souls here, and I know there are some needs, because this has been really bearing on my mind and a burden on my shoulders. I'm not really responsible for you. I'm not your pastor. Thank God for Brother Grant. But I want you to know that he's concerned about you too. And wherever you are, if you just kind of feel a little stagnant tonight, you don't have to stay there. You feel like you've been spinning your wheels and you just don't know exactly what's expected of you next or whatever. You don't have to stay there. The pre-servant prayer meetings are open to everybody. The Thursday night prayer times are open to everybody. And the call is still coming from God. Go up and I'll come down. Climb a little bit, put a little time in, talk to me a little more, and I'll come down and meet you. I can supply your every need. I can answer your every question. I can take care of your every problem. If you have put a little effort into getting a little higher, go up and I'll come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad that's the way God is? Oh, yes. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you don't have to stay there. There are so many things you can do. You can stir up your nest. You can get out of your comfort zone. You can push yourself out of, as I said earlier, that comfortable recliner. And you can just climb a little higher in God. And I think you need to make up your mind tonight that you're going to Elah. Go a little higher with him. You're climbing up to a place where God can reach down to you. Because I'm telling you, his hand is extended. His long arm has not been shortened. He is reaching for you. You say, well, he hears me when I whisper. Yeah. But I can preach you a sermon on how a desperate cry gets an immediate answer from God. So if you really want to hear from God, put some desperation in it. Climb up a little bit. Go a little higher. Because the higher you go, the more he'll bless you. The more you do for him, the more he can do for you. The more of your life you commit to him, the more he will commit himself to you. Go up so he can come down. Would you stand together with me? The choir sings that song, I Need a Breakthrough. And some are sitting here tonight needing a breakthrough, because when we break through to God, listen, God will break in upon us. And the era of Jeroboam is still evident in and around the church today. The trick of the enemy is too much for you to live for God today. No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh, I just can't follow all that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If anybody, anytime ever lived for God, you can live for him today. Amen. There needs to be something change in your mind, a little bit of an attitude change that will let you know that somebody needs to plant their feet on the solid rock and say, whatever comes my way, the winds won't blow me over, the storm won't dash me out. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Because all I have to do is Elah. Go up a little, and he'll come down. He'll meet me. Amen. Amen. Anybody want to draw a little closer to God? Step out from where you are and come. Come and talk to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.